Right, Julie.
We've got Graham and Deborah.
They've disappeared. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Now, if we were in Africa, the whole pub would have joined in. Sorry, what's that? Apparently, there's a technical hitch.
No, it's all on, but for some reason it's not picking up.
Oh, well.
Is this microphone, this one here, Bruce? It's normally over here, isn't it? Maybe. Is that it?
No, it's my headset one.
Which
means the headset's
like
you have a bomb.
Oh, dear.
No, it's not you, they do.
Sure.
It's so small wires.
That would make us better, won't it?
Yeah. Oh, pick us up. I thought you said wait or something.
Oh.
I'm going to read part of Psalm 149. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. Have you all brought your tambourines and harps?
Yeah.
Great.
I've got mine here.
Yeah. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honour and sing for joy on their beds. Amen. So, we have a treat this morning. Brian has given me a few songs from Whitewell Tabernacle in Belfast, where I'd love to visit, but it might be too far for us to go next week. But this one is called, It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. And that's why we're here, to praise Jesus, because he's washed our sins away and so much more. And then we're going to go straight into All My Days. I will sing this song of gladness. Beautiful Saviour, wonderful Counsellor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life. So we begin with one of Brian's favourites. It was Down at the Feet of Jesus. Feel free to clap along.
Next week.
Oh,
thing to do if we're having a bad day. Praise the Lord, right? So let's continue in our praise to him with all my days.
To our Lord in prayer, and we're going to particularly pray for peace. We need peace in the world, don't we? But to know the peace of Jesus, well, that's great. Let us pray. Lord, you created a perfect world, but things changed. Mankind have gone their own way, and there has been disruption and unrest. There has been wars and disagreements between nations, between leaders, between continents and within countries, also with organizations, families, and individuals. They've all played their part in spoiling your world. Whereas we know that it was your desire that there should be peace throughout the world. We earnestly come to you, Lord, to pray for peace in all places and among all people. May we all strive to work for peace, leaving no stone unturned as we speak out and oppose all that divides your world. How wonderful it would be if we all learnt to reveal and live by your peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Lord, while we pray together, we think of those that are special in our prayers today. David, April, Jean and Stuart, John and Margaret, and our own friends and families. We pray for each one of them too, Lord. But Lord, may we see an end to all behavior which prevents your will being obeyed, and for peace to reign eternally. In your name and for your sake, we pray. Amen.
And the reason we have that peace is because Jesus is our Redeemer. So we're going to sing, "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son."
Precious Lamb of God.
And the reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. The title, Jew and Gentile Reconciled Through Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
This is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And also in the word of God, it tells us in 1 Peter 2 that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God.
Chosen people. goes on. Aroy, you'll breathe the
Praise the Lord.
It says two on here, but there we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, amen. I'm sure it was two when I was listening earlier, but there
we go. Right. Can I just share with you first that 2 weeks' time, which will be the 17th of September, that's going to be what we call our Harvest Festival. We do ask you to bring gifts, but we ask you, it's the third Sunday, that's the one we give to the food bank. So please make a special date, a fortnight today, bring your gifts for the food bank, and as you do, we give thanks to God for all the things that we have and we remember at harvest and all the hard work that's gone in to produce things for us. So we're going to celebrate it, but it won't be perhaps what we expect, the normal harvest gifts, but it will be what is suitable for the food bank, and they will appreciate that very much. The other one is that there's leaflets here for you to take away so that you can't forget, and that is Friday the 29th of September here in the pub, a Macmillan coffee morning. You're all invited, and it's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. so please, if you can take a poster, you can. We'll have some of these at the Luncheon Club on Tuesday, that starts again, but take them to remind you and give to other people. Macmillan Cancer does a wonderful job, and it would be good to be involved in that. Now, the message this morning is called The Great Peace Mission. Peace Mission. What is the Great Peace Mission? Well, listen. It seems that most peace missions fail. I read somewhere that from 1500 BC to AD 850, there were apparently 750 eternal covenants agreed on among various nations with hope of bringing peace, but that no covenant had lasted longer than 2 years. Isn't that sad? The only eternal covenant that has lasted, and of course will last, is the one made by our eternal God, sealed by the very blood of Jesus. In other words, it is Jesus' peace mission that Paul explains in this section in Ephesians. And there are three very important words summarized in this passage of Scripture, and they are separation, reconciliation, and unification. And we're going to take those three one by one. Number one, separation, and this comes from verses 11 and 12. You know, this is what the Gentiles were. The one word that probably best describes the Gentiles is that they were without. Without? Without what? Well, they were without Christ. The Ephesians worshipped the goddess Diana and before the coming of the gospel, they knew nothing at all about Jesus. They were without citizenship. They were not accepted by the Jews. They were without covenants. God had not made any covenant with the Gentile nations. They were aliens and strangers, and the Jews would never let them forget that. They were without hope. Did the Jews care? Of course not. They were without God. The pagan, no matter how religious or moral they may have been, did not know the true God. And my friends, it's worth noting that the spiritual plight of the Gentiles was not caused by God, but by their own willful sin. So number two, going from separation to reconciliation, verses 13 to 18. What God did for the Gentiles. The word reconcile means, of course, to bring together again. And you've got the difference between Jews and Gentiles. God had put a difference between Jews and Gentiles so that his purpose in salvation might be accomplished. But you know, once those purposes were accomplished, there was no difference. In fact, it was God's purpose that these differences be erased forever. And they are erased, of course, through the work of Jesus in reconciliation. And it was this lesson that was so difficult for the early church to understand. For centuries, you see, the Jews had been different from the Gentiles. Different in religion, in dress, in diet, and in laws. And until Peter was sent to the Gentiles, the church had no problems. But then, with the salvation of the Gentiles on the same term as the Jews, you can imagine problems began to develop. So, what happens? Well, apparently, the Jewish Christians reprimanded Peter for going to the Gentiles and for eating with them. But the representatives of the church knew they had a problem, and so they gathered together in an important conference to discuss the place of the Gentiles in the church. Must a Gentile become a Jew to become a Christian? Their conclusion, of course, was no. Jews and Gentiles are saved the same way, by faith in Jesus. The enmity was gone. There was no difference between Jews and Gentiles. It was not a question of the Gentiles becoming a Jew to become a Christian, but the Jew admitting that he was a sinner just like the Gentiles. And it bears this truth, doesn't it, in Romans 3:22, a verse we probably know well. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we come to the third and last point, and that was unification, verses 19 to 22. This tells us what Jews and Gentiles are in Christ. Here it goes. Verse 19, they are one nation. Israel was God's chosen nation, but they rejected their Redeemer and they suffered for those consequences. The kingdom was taken from them and given to a nation bringing forth fruits. Therefore, the new nation is the chosen people. It is the church, a chosen generation, a holy nation belonging to people. That was the new nation. And they were, verse 19 still, they are one family. Through faith in Jesus, we enter into God's family, and God, of course, becomes our Father. This wonderful family of God is found in two places. It's found in heaven and found in earth. Living believers are on the earth. Believers who have died are in heaven. In other words, none of God's children are under the earth or in any other place of the universe. We are all brothers and sisters in one family, no matter what racial, national, or physical distinctions we may possess. They were also, verses 20 to 22, as we put it, they are one temple. What do we mean? Well, as you look back over this chapter, you cannot help, surely, but praising God for what he in his grace has done for sinners. Through Jesus, God has raised us from the dead and seated us in his temple. Neither spiritual death nor spiritual distance can defeat the very grace of God. But he has not only saved us individually, but he also makes us part of his church, of his family, collectively. And so, friends, what a tremendous privilege it is to be part of God's eternal program. Don't have to be a Jew, don't have to be a Gentile. If you are a member of God's family, then that means we've come to know Jesus, we've repented of our sin, we've accepted him by faith through grace. He has done all that is necessary. Yes, of course, Jesus died to make reconciliation possible. And there's a challenge. You and I must live to make the message of reconciliation personal. God has given to us, my friends, the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we are his ambassadors of peace. We've got to share his peace, eternal peace, with others. We read in Corinthians, our feet should be shod with the preparation of peace. And in, that was in Ephesians. And in Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So, are we willing to be his ambassadors? Are we willing to share the peace that passeth all understanding with others? That peace comes. It came for us when we accepted Jesus. There are many who are termed as lost, but you know, God loves them. God wants them as part of his family. And we have been left as believers to be his ambassadors. We must not fail him. Yes, there are all sorts of ways that we can be his ambassadors. It might be by the way we live. It may be telling people why we believe, why we go to church, why we read the Bible. It might be simply by being a good host and inviting someone for coffee or for a meal or whatever it is. But there are so many different ways that we can share the gospel. We are ambassadors of God's eternal peace. So may we not fail him, but may we do all that we can to share that peace. Amen.
So when I got the theme from Bruce this week, a song came to mind that I'd heard again. I've known it for a while, but I heard it on the radio, not the radio, anyway, through the car a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting, with the theme of the Lord bringing the Gentiles and the Jews together. And this song sings about we being many are one body in Messiah. And we're just going to listen to it because we hadn't got time to learn it. But it's sung by Cliff Richard, as a Christian, obviously, a Gentile believer, and by Helen Shapiro, who I'm sure you'll remember, Walking Back to Happiness. And she actually was brought up a Jew, and at the age of 40, she was inspired by her musical director, who was a Christian, and became a Messianic Jew. And so it's really special that Cliff is a Gentile believer and Helen as a Messianic believer are singing this song together. And it's about, obviously, being one body in Messiah. So we're going to just listen to it. Maybe another time we'll learn it to sing together. Oh, right, sorry. Thank you. Yes, thank you, that's right. It was also written by a Jew. Yeah, Messianic Jew.
Side.
So it would be lovely to sing that all together another time, but just so appropriate. So we're going to finish with Bind Us Together, Lord, Bind Us Together. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we're of a Gentile background or a Jewish background, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, one family.
Together with love.
join together as we say the grace.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.